Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We're located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddroadgracechurch.com. Now, here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 3, and before I read my text, I want to announce the title of this message, The Two Natures of the Believer. Beginning in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3, we read, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now, what is this inner man Paul is speaking of? Not everyone has an inner man. Only the believer has an inner man. Now, this is important for any believer to understand. A believer has two separate natures. The one he was born with, and the one he has when he's born again or born from above. That's the old man, the man he was born with, and the new man, the man he has when he is born again. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. I know some people will say that doesn't make sense, and that's okay. What is important is, does the Bible actually teach this? That's all I'm concerned about. Does the Bible actually teach this? And I hope you'll see that it does by the time this message is finished. Now, the inner man. This is actually difficult to grasp because both of these two natures operate through one consciousness. Now, let me repeat that. There's not really a time when you can say, well, this is the new man and this is the old man, because both of these two natures operate through one consciousness. An illustration would be a water faucet, having hot water and cold water running through the same spigot. Different, hot, cold, but when they come through the same spigot, it is that one consciousness. Another example would be if you would mix yellow and orange paint together, or yellow and red paint, you would have orange. Now, it wouldn't change the molecular structure of the red paint or the yellow paint, but when they're mixed together, they both, all you see is orange. So when I'm talking about these two natures, and like I said, it's what the Bible teaches, it's important also to realize that these two natures that a believer possesses comes through one consciousness. Now, we read in the scripture of the new man, the inner man, the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, the new creature, the new creation, one that was not there before. And we also read of the old man, the flesh, the carnal mind, the sin that dwelleth in me, the wretched man of Romans chapter 7, the body of this death. Now, both of these old and new men come through this one consciousness. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. I realize some people would say this is contradictory, it's dualistic, it sounds like spiritual schizophrenia, but hang on with me and listen, and we're going to see that the Bible actually teaches this. And if it's what the Bible teaches, I'm going to preach it, whether it can be abused or not, because men can always take some aspect of the truth and abuse it, but because of that, it doesn't mean we're not going to preach it. I realize people could take this and abuse it, but that's not my problem. I'm to preach the truth, God's truth, and let the chips fall where they will. Now, somebody may be thinking, why make an issue of this? Is it really important what you believe about this? Well, let me read a scripture that teaches this. There's so many scriptures. But Paul said in Romans 7, I delight in the law of God after the inner man. That's talking about the new nature. I delight in the law of God after the inner man. But I see another law warring in my members and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, it's very clear that Paul is speaking of two separate men, the inner man and the old man. Now, again, somebody says, does it really matter what you believe about this? Is this an issue? Well, you can say that about any truth that God has revealed in His Word. You can say, do you need to believe it? Well, if God teaches it, if God says it in His Word, yes, you need to believe it. And yes, it does matter. I have heard people say they see that the Bible teaches election, that God chose who would be saved before time began. But I've seen those same people say, it doesn't really matter what you believe about this. Well, yes, it does. If it doesn't matter about salvation being by grace, then it doesn't matter whether you believe in election. If it doesn't matter that God gets all the glory, it doesn't matter if you believe in election, but it does matter. Everything God reveals is of critical importance, and it's very important that you and I understand this thing of the two natures of the believer. Now, I want to give you, before I show what the scripture teaches, I want to give you six issues that are at stake in this thing of the believer having two natures. Now, the first issue at stake is if you don't believe that the believer has two natures, you don't really believe what took place in the fall in the Garden of Eden. You see, when Adam fell, he became completely dead in trespasses and sins. Totally depraved. Every aspect of his character was affected by the fall, the understanding, the affections, the will, and completely unable to do anything to save himself. Our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, if I deny that a believer has two natures, I'm saying that grace takes that old man and does something with it. And the Bible denies that. Flesh is flesh. It can never rise above that. It's completely evil. That's the way every man is born into this world. And to deny this says man is improved by grace. And that's just not what the Scripture teaches. You see, the nature, here's the second thing I'd like to say. If you don't believe in two separate natures, you don't have any understanding of the nature of the new birth. Now, there is such a thing as being born again. And the Lord made this statement, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It can never rise above that. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's nothing fleshly about it. It's a new nature. The Lord said in John 1, 12 and 13, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not because of any fleshly connection, not of the will of the flesh, not because of an act of man's free will. You didn't decide to be born in your first birth, and you don't decide to be born in your second birth. Not of the will of man, not because a lot of men got together and said, we're going to pray until this man is saved, and we're going to do... No. This birth is of God. It's purely spiritual. It's something that's there that was not there before. A new heart will I give you. He doesn't take the old heart and improve it. He gives a brand new heart. And here's the third statement I'd like to make. Listen very carefully. Salvation is not a changed life. Salvation is a new creation. Salvation is not a changed life. There are a lot of people who change their lives, who have bad habits and terrible habits that affect their health and affect their family and bring problems in society, and they stop those things. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. But you can do that without being saved. Some people just get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they're going to change their lives. This is not salvation. Salvation is a new creation, a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're said to be created in righteousness and true holiness. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not an improved heart and changed life, but a new creation, something that was not there before. And to deny two natures is to deny that the new birth is a new creation, a creative act of God. Here's my fourth issue at stake. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We have this treasure, the gospel, this new nature, this salvation. We house this treasure in these bodies of clay, these sinful bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, here he tells us that to deny that is to say the excellency of the power partly belongs to the creature, and that shall never be. And not understanding this thing of two separate men creates such sadness in a believer's life. They'll think things like, if I thought this, or if I did that, maybe I'm not saved. I keep coming and committing the same sin over and over again. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe God's never done a work of grace in my heart. Now, sin's never okay to a believer, but I understand why I sin. I've got a sinful nature, an old nature. And anyway, the real me is not the man who sins. The real me is the new man in Christ Jesus. That old man is going to be put away. Now, the doctrine stated is that all men are dead in sins, and it is the Spirit that quickeneth, giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. Your natural flesh does not enter into this thing of being born again or being a Christian or a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I can give several illustrations of this from the Scripture, but the first illustration I'd like to give is found in Genesis 25. Beginning in verse 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. She had no life in her womb. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. There's now life in her womb. And this is talking about the conception of the two twins, Jacob and Esau. And you'll remember from the Scriptures, God said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Those are God's words. Now, before you get too shocked about that, God's hatred is not like our hatred. His hatred is a righteous hatred. Esau didn't care a thing about God. He didn't think he was worth a bowl of soup. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. That's how much he cared about God. But listen to this. And the children, verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. Oh, there was a struggle going on, and she didn't understand this. You see, there was no struggle before there was life. But now that there's life, there's a struggle. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now that gives an illustration of what it is to have two manner of men in you struggling with one another. And that's what Paul is referring to, and when he says in Galatians 5, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. Those are the two men, the two natures that every believer possesses. An unbeliever doesn't have this because he's not been born again. But in a believer, you have the flesh lusting against the spirit lusting against the flesh. These two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You would, if you're a believer, you would never sin again. You would be perfectly holy. But you've got something called the flesh that prevents that. And your flesh would commit every sin known to man, but there's someone who won't let that happen. The new man within you. Now, two manner of men are in every believer, the flesh and the spirit. And the Lord gives us a parable. You remember the parable where the Lord says you don't take new wine and pour it into old wineskins. Now, this is talking about leather skins. The old skins would be dried. They wouldn't be able to stretch out. If you took that new wine and poured it into the old wineskin through the process of fermentation, that would just burst that wineskin and you'd lose everything. You put new wine in new wineskins. God doesn't pour His grace and His Spirit into the old man and into that old heart. He gives a new heart. This is the pure heart spoken of in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is the new heart that God gives. It's the new heart that believes the gospel. Now, the new heart, the new man owns the sins of the old man, but the new man is pure. It's perfect. It is the heart that God gives. A new heart also will I give you. So the Lord tells us in that parable that He does not pour the wine of His grace in the old man. He gives a new heart that can receive His Spirit, His Son, His gospel. It's being birthed by God and having something that was not there before. Now, when the Lord came to His disciples asleep in the garden, He said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? And then He made this statement. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, He's not talking about a separation between the soul and body. You've got the fleshly appetites and then you've got the soul. That's not what He's talking about at all. He's talking about the spirit, the new spirit, the new man is willing. Paul said, to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not, he said in the next breath. But the willingness of the spirit to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. That's the new man. The Lord says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, powerless, impotent is the word. It has no spiritual ability at all. Peter spoke in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, of the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. It's not even subject to corruption. It cannot do wrong. The hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Paul spoke in Ephesians 4 of putting on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'd like to read this passage of Scripture to you from 1 John chapter 3, because this is what is being taught here. In 1 John chapter 3, John says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Now, a lot of people say, well, that means you don't practice sin. doesn't mean you can't sin. Nobody's perfect. That means you don't practice sin. It's not the habit and bent and tenor of your life. Well, that's not what it says. Let's go on reading. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Do you know, somebody says God can do anything. We can't sin. He can't sin. He can't lie. He can't do evil. That's against his nature. He has a holy nature. And every believer has a nature that does not commit sin. The new man does not sin. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, we read, "For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." Somebody says, well, that means he doesn't practice sin. That's not what it says. And somebody that says that is being dishonest with the language of the Scripture. That person does not commit sin. "But he that's begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not." Now, do you remember when Satan came to try to tempt the Lord to sin? And the Lord said, he found nothing in me. He found nothing he could work with. You know, the Lord didn't even have the potential to sin. To say that he could sin would be to say that he could change, and that would be a denial of his immutability. He's holy, nothing but holy, and he didn't even have the potential to sin. And somebody says, well, where is there virtue in that? Well, there's plenty of virtue in that. All virtue is in that. But if he couldn't be tempted, what was the big deal about him not giving into temptation? That's foolishness. Christ could not sin. The devil could find nothing that he could get hold of with Christ, and he finds nothing in the new nature. The new nature, the wicked one toucheth him not. Let me read a passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 3 that tells us something about what this new man believes. And you can tell if you have a new man by this. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, Paul said, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man." The new man. There it is. There's the old man and the new man, "which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." This new man is the creative act work of God, "where there is neither Greek nor Jew, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all." Now here is what the new man believes. This is the knowledge that he has been given, that Christ is all. He's all that God is. He's all that the Scripture has to say. Every Scripture testifies of him. He is all in salvation, and all that God requires of me, he looks to his Son for. And all God requires of me, I look to his Son for. Christ is all in all. Now that's quite simply what the new man believes. He doesn't believe in salvation by works. He doesn't believe Christ gets 99% of the credit. He believes Christ is all. He believes that what the Bible teaches is that Christ is all. And if you believe that Christ is all in your salvation, you reject any form of salvation by works, and you know Christ is all in salvation, it's because he's given you a new heart that believes that. Now, question. There are saints in heaven right now worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And there are saints here on earth. What is the difference between the saints in heaven and the saints on earth? The saints in heaven have only one nature. That old man has died and has been put away. And now all they have is that holy man, created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not sin. Now the saints here on earth, they have all that's needed to bring them into heaven, present tense, right now. I'm not going to be more holy in heaven than I am right now, but I'm not going to have this sinful nature that causes so much trouble. But right now, every believer does in fact have two natures, but the ones in heaven only have one nature. They put down the old man. He is gone. And I love this promise. The new man is stronger than the old man. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Now, do you remember how God said to Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger? Now, my older nature, that sinful nature, it is a servant to the new nature. Now, how can that be? I mean, if the old nature is as bad as you say it is, if it's nothing but sin, if it does nothing but sin and it's evil, how can you say that that nature is serving the new nature? Well, my old nature, my sin, and it's the new nature that owns it. The old man, a natural man, doesn't even really understand sin. But my sin makes me look to Christ only. He is all I have for salvation. The only hope of my salvation is Christ only. I don't plead anything that I do or no, Christ only is all I have, because I see at all times that I'm so sinful. Now, in that sense, God brings good out of evil. He does what only He can do. He brings good out of evil, because even my sin drives me to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it makes me look nowhere else. It's a part of what Paul says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God does what only God can do. He brings good out of evil. And that old man is serving the young man. Now, two natures. I know it's what the Scripture teaches. Read Romans chapter 7, and you can't deny it. It's what the Scripture teaches. But it'll give you some understanding of the nature of the new birth and the nature of salvation really being all of grace. I look forward to no longer having two natures, only having one that worships Christ. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.